Now, I know you're all tucked in there and all comfortable and got everything kind of laid around you, but I'd like you to stand today for the reading of the Word of God. It's just kind of something I want to do here on this first Sunday. You guys are like, this isn't what we do at Calvary Chapel. It is today, okay? And I want to read the passage that we're going to be covering today, which is Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end." I lost my place. Hold on. To this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints." You can be seated. I love that the end of that passage says that we would have all perseverance and that we would be watchful in prayer for all of the saints. And I think that's a good place for us to start when we're going to talk now about spiritual warfare and how that can affect our 2018. Are you watching spiritually? We are one ancient theologian from a couple hundred years ago, we'll call him ancient, used the term between two worlds, that we live between two worlds. We are physical, so we live in the physical world, but we are spirit, and that is eternal in us, and we are living in the spiritual realm as well. And sometimes we forget that we're living in this physical and the spiritual realm, and we're trying to take care of things in the spirit, in the physical realm, forgetting that real changes for us take place in the spiritual. And so we want today to consider what Paul talks about here when he talks about this spiritual battle. That if we could somehow peel back the physical, that we would see demonic forces and angelic forces. Demonic forces fighting against us and angelic forces fighting for us. When it comes to talking about Satan, there are some people who like to say, don't talk about him. If you leave him alone, he'll leave you alone. If you start messing with him, who knows, it's like bees. When I was a kid and my dad would say to me, leave him alone, they'll leave you alone. We have that idea with him, but that's not what the scriptures tell us. We are doing a work for the kingdom of God, and Satan wants to stop that work. Here's why I think that's the case. First of all, we know that Lucifer is a real person. And we also know that he was created as an angel. And angels were created and people were created. I don't want to ruin It's a Wonderful World for you, or It's a Wonderful Life for you. But when a bell rings, angels don't get their wings. And when you die, you don't become an angel. I realize that may really bum you out because you realize, I thought I was going to be an angel when I died. God created angels and he created humans. When you die, and you're a Christian, you will become a glorified human, and that's awesome. You will put on incorruptibleness, you will put on immortality, and it will be awesome, but you won't become an angel. But there were these angels that were created, and there's a host of them, and a third of them fell. And there's this demonic host that is out there, and Satan is the head of that. Satan, the Bible says, and you can read this in Ezekiel and Isaiah, the Bible says that he was beautiful. He was involved with music somehow, which is interesting to me. And that he was made out of jewels. His actual body was jewels. The thing about diamonds is when they're faceted correctly, they reflect the light. That's why when you look at a diamond in a case that has a light on the inside, you go, wow, look at that. Why does mine look so bad? You need to get it in there and yours will look better. Because it was reflecting the light that is perfect for diamonds inside of that case. Can you imagine Lucifer in the presence of the glory of God? and how he must have shone with the facets of jewels in his body. And he got deluded. God created angels with free will, just like he did man. They had the ability to turn away from God, and he began to think that he was better than God. Somebody said to me once, "You really think that Satan believed that he was better than God?" I know some people who think they're better than God. Yes, Satan was deluded, and he thought, "I'm going to raise my throne above the throne of God," and he fell. And there's been a war on ever since. And Satan knows he has lost a bunch of battles, the big one being the cross, when he crucified the Lord and God bruised his heel by crushing the head of Lucifer. But I still think Satan thinks he's going to win. I know he's read the end of the book, but he's got a plan. He's still deluded, and he thinks he's going to win in the end. We know how it ends. We know we've already won. We know we just need to be in the battle. But he's like, "No, I got a plan. I'm going to win in the end." And I believe that that's why he's trying to stop us from doing the work of the gospel, because he wants every soul that goes into the kingdom of God to be in his kingdom in the future. It's a battle over kingdoms. It's a battle over the souls of men and women. And so Satan is hard at work against you to make you ineffective for the kingdom of God. Now, when we think of the devil, a lot of times we get things wrong. We think he's going to come into my room at night and he's going to slime me, or he's going to sneeze on me, or he's going to grab my leg, or I heard footsteps coming down my hallway, or I saw a dark shadow in my room. And we need to understand that Satan is powerless against you because Christ is inside of you. The Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That doesn't mean he cannot be effective in bringing you down. It means you're thinking on the wrong level. You're thinking physically, where he can't touch you at all, but he's thinking, if I can get you as a Christian to think wrong, if I can shoot my fiery dart and get your mind on fire, if I can get you doubting God — isn't that how he tempted Jesus? If you are the Son of God, isn't that how he tempted Eve when he said, "Can you eat of all of the trees in the garden?" He questioned the goodness of God in all of that, and Satan does that today. His methods, his MO, his schemes are the same. They are effective, and they help to bring us down. And we get caught up in all of these weird ways in which we try to fight against the devil. We get caught up in lies. In the 70s, do you remember that there was a guy who traveled around, really, the world to cast demons out of Christians? First of all, a Christian cannot be demon-possessed. Why? You are already possessed by a spirit. The Holy Spirit. And they don't share a room. You don't have a demonic spirit and Holy Spirit. They don't even share different apartments, pass each other in the hallway. "How you doing?" "Oh, not so good. I'm trying to get this guy to deny you. He won't do it." They're not hanging out together. But he went around claiming that he had this experience where at one point he had a demon-possessed guy, and he cast the demon out of him, and the guy threw up the demon. And so his whole thing was, he would go around, call people out to this deliverance night, hand out barf bags at the door, and people would throw up their demons. He'd start casting demons out, and people would throw up. Here's what was really happening. One person would throw up because, the suggestion is there. You've got the barf bag. "I don't feel so good." "Bah, throw up." Then you would have what one of our guys said to me last service, sympathy throw up from there. I'm telling you, if I'm in a room and you're throwing up, I don't even have to smell it. I just have to see it, and I'm going to throw up, because that's the way I am. And if I smell it, forget about that. And there's some of you right now, I'm just talking about it, and you're like, "Stop talking about it, because I'm going to throw up." And think about what a victory that was for Satan. To have Christians, he's like, "Look at what I got these suckers doing. They are so vulnerable to suggestion. He is the father of lies. He gets us doing something that is as unbiblical as throwing up to get rid of a demon, and he's happy that we're in that." In the late 80s and the early 90s, there was another revival of spiritual warfare, and I think there's another one coming. I think that there's going to be, and I want you guys to be prepared and aware so that you are not sucked into these things. But this guy claimed that he was praying with someone who's demon-possessed, and he suddenly was able to see a demon on his head. on his mind, or a demon around somebody's heart, and that this guy could see demons on people. And so he would have his deliverance services, and he would have people stand up, and he would tell them, I see a demon around your heart, and this demon is the demon of lust, or it's the demon of greed, or it's the demon, and then he would cast those demons out of people. Here's the thing. Klingons are not real. I could see something clinging onto your head, clinging onto your heart, clinging. They are in the Star Trek universe, Klingons, but they're not real here. And again, I think Satan is really happy that he gets us talking about there's a demon on your side, there's a demon on your head, instead of the truth, which is that Satan has his schemes that he wants you to be full of doubt. He wants you not to believe that you are really the light of the world, that you are the salt of the earth, that you are the church built by him, that the gates of hell will not prevail against, that he wants you to think that you are inadequate, that you are condemned, that you are unforgivable, that you can't be used by God, that you've done too many bad things. He's firing away his fiery darts into our minds, and we're going, I gotta go throw up, I got a demon. And we're out of it because we've allowed Satan, we're unaware of his schemes. The Bible says we're not unaware of his schemes. I'm afraid today we are unaware of his schemes, and we don't realize what the Bible has given us that we would be able to stand and not fall. The enemy is really happy to get you out of the game, to get you ineffective at sharing your faith, to get you ineffective at living for Christ. He's really good at getting you thinking that you are nobody and that you're nobody of any consequence to the kingdom of God or to this world or to the real battle, and he just takes you out, and I think he's very effective at that. And I want to see us this year put on our armor and stand. I want to see us in this game. I want to see us in this battle. I want to see us planting seeds with family and friends and coworkers and acquaintances. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And Satan is getting you to think you are not. And I want you to know that you are, to be able to do all the work that God's called you to do. And so we see, first of all, here in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, and the book of Ephesians is just an awesome, awesome book. Here at the end of it, he wraps it up with this. That'll tell you how good this book is. This is what he wraps up with. And he says, finally, my brethren, in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The first thing for us to understand when it comes to spiritual things is that we are not fighting the devil in our own power. Everyone here understands that if Robert Furrow, in a right relationship with God, were to meet Satan in a dark alley, and Robert Furrow's strength against Satan's strength, that Robert Furrow wouldn't stand a chance. We need to understand that this is a spiritual battle that is taking place, and it's not by my might, and it's not by my power. When I was a young Christian, I went to a church that taught, was part of the holiness movement, and they taught that if you could get to the place where you didn't sin, that the power of God would be evident in your life. It was kind of a back door into this thing. That it's that you might not have the physical strength or power to be able to overcome the enemy, but if you can get sinless, then the enemy can't stand up against you. And people said things like, I tell Satan what to do. I tell him to go climb a mountain, and he goes and climb a mountain. I tell him to climb a pole, and he goes and climbs a pole. And even back then as a teenager, I remember saying, you aren't telling. Satan's not climbing a pole because you told him to. In fact, Michael, the archangel, the great prince, it says in Daniel chapter 12, the great prince of the people of Israel, which is what a job. Michael is arguing with Lucifer over the body of Moses. And who knows what that's all about? But it says that Michael wouldn't even say, the Lord rebuke you. I mean, Michael wouldn't even say, I rebuke you. But instead said, the Lord rebuke you. And Michael one day is the guy that's going to get him. When we think of God and his opposite, there is no opposite to God. So the movies would like you to think there's God and there's the devil and they're opposites. But it's really Michael, the archangel, and Lucifer who are opposites. And one day, Michael is going to get him and throw him in the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. I think he's antsy to do it right now. I think he's like, now? Can I get him now? Look at him. I'll get him. I can take him. Now? Can I go get him now? But the power to overcome him isn't by me becoming sinless and then having power shoot out of my fingertips. It is by the power that God has already given me by the righteousness of Christ. Even if I were able to become sinless, and I tried for a while, by the way, and I failed. Even if I were able to become sinless, the Bible says if anybody says they have no sin, they're a liar. You're lying when you say that. Even if I were able to do that, it's still not as strong as the righteousness of Christ. Even if I were able to get to a point where I didn't sin ever again in my life, that's not as powerful as the righteousness of Jesus that I already have. So I'm trying to exchange my own righteousness for the righteousness of Christ that I've already got, and I already have been given victory over Him. I already have what I need to be able to take Him. So I need to be strong in the Lord. What this means is that you have your life right with Him. It means you're not backslidden. It means you're not living for yourself. It means you're not living for unconfessed and unrepented sin. This Wednesday night, we're going to talk about strongholds. We're going to talk about temptation. We're going to talk about how to overcome them. We're going to talk about the lies that the enemy gives us about sin, that this is the lifestyle that's going to make us happy when it's not, and every good and perfect gift that comes from God and seeing things the way they are supposed to be. But that's what it means to have the power of the Lord in our lives. We make things right between us and God. We get rid of those things that keep us at a distance from Him. And so we are to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Greg Laurie's the first guy that I heard say it. I've heard a lot of people say it since then. I don't know if he was original to it, but I like when he says it, that when the devil comes and knocks on his door, he sends Jesus to answer the door. Greg Laurie doesn't go there and go, "I rebuke you, devil, I'm Greg Laurie." Because again, the devil's going to whip Greg Laurie. But when Jesus is there, well, He's the stronger than the strong man. And there is no way He will be able to defeat him. So if we are going to defeat the enemy, it is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then it says, put on the whole armor of God. Not part of it, all of it. If you put on part of it, you're going to be vulnerable. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. The word wiles here in the Greek, we get the English word methods from it. Again, Satan has his methods and he's good at it. We see his methods when we look at how he tempted Eve, and we see his methods when we see him tempting Jesus. We see that Jesus was victorious against the temptation of the enemy, even though he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted and fasted for 40 days. He was physically weak, which maybe tells us something. It's at difficult times in lives, our lives, it's at times when we are physically weak that the enemy thinks, now's my chance. Now I can get him spiritually. And so he says that put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, which we know is against our mind, which we know is to get us to doubt. Because if we doubt, we aren't receiving what God is giving us. He stops us from receiving the might and the power of God because we receive all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ as we have faith, as we trust in God. So if He can get you in your mind to doubt, then He keeps you from receiving what God wants you to receive. Those are the wiles of the devil. He goes on to say that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's an important point for all of us. This doesn't take place in the flesh. It doesn't mean, you know, some people think that if you plead the blood, if you say the words, I plead the blood over and over and over again, if you say it enough times that you can bind an enemy. You can't do it in the power of the flesh. It's got to be done in the Spirit because these things are spiritual. And as guys, we are, and I relate to this because I'm a guy, we're used to fixing things. That's how we do it. When our wife says, I'm not happy, we go, well, how can I fix it? And wives, when you go, I'm not happy, you say it's because it's your fault that I'm not happy. When it might be, but it might not be, right? And we might not be able to fix it. As guys, we try to fix everything. When one of my sons came to me when he was a teenager and said, Dad, I can't stop thinking about this. You know what my response was? Here's the great father I am. Well, stop it. Doesn't that just sound like us guys, doesn't it? I'm like, well, just stop thinking about it. What is it? Just stop thinking about it. Instead of understanding that there might be something else going on here. Yes, I think it's a good thing that we are fixers. I think that's the way God made us as men. We roll up our sleeves and we get after things. We go and we fix it. But we need to do it in the spiritual realm. We need to do it through prayer. We need to do it by calling out on God to bind the enemy. We need to, when we see, realize that our kids are choosing a lifestyle of this world, when they're being conformed to the world rather than being transformed by God, we need to do it through prayer. We need to seek God through spiritual warfare, asking God to bind the enemy, asking God to do this work, and praying faithfully for them. These are part of the weapons that we have been given, and we can make a difference in their lives. Some of us are not even in that kind of a battle. So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But then it says, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Well, that's a list of a lot of different kind of demons. And I don't know, it probably is ranking. I think it's ranking. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think I am. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, the veil is taken back a little bit, and we see that demonic and angelic forces fight each other. And this angel that appears to Daniel has been fighting, I think it's the prince of Persia, and he's got to go back and fight the prince of Greece. These seem to be like the generals that are battling it out. And it goes all the way down to spiritual hosts, which seem to be the foot soldiers. But that behind the scene, there are these battles going on, and we don't know how they are. A few years ago, Frank Peretti wrote a couple of books, This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness. You guys read those books or aware of them? And the books were on spiritual warfare, at least that's what it seemed like. And when he was asked about his scenes where he has demonic angels fighting against angelic, good angels, he said, I had to take liberty because the Bible isn't really clear about the battles, how they happen. And so I had to just take some artistic liberty in developing those scenes where the angels are fighting against the demons. But here's the crazy thing. People believed him. They were like, oh, this is how it is. This is what's happening in the spiritual realm. But he said, my real reason for writing the book was showing that when we pray, we make a difference in the spiritual battle. That we are a part of that battle. And that we are victorious when we pray. And that is really what you gain from those books. When you read those books, you walk away with it with a sense, you know what, I really am in this battle, and my prayers really do make a difference. They do change destinies, and there is a struggle that's going on, and I have to pray through for the lives of my parents, for the lives of my kids, for my family, for my friends, for my acquaintances, for my coworkers, that they would come into a relationship with Christ. So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but these spiritual demonic beings. And that's just scary to some of us. But again, there's no reason to be scared about it because they can't do anything to you. When I was a teenager, I'd given my life to the Lord, but we were still in the youth group at the church I was at, still messing around with some things we shouldn't have been messing around with. One was a Ouija board. And the funny thing was we were asking the Ouija board spiritual questions like, when is Jesus coming back? The Ouija board said 1975. Lied. Didn't come back in 1975. But we believed it because the Ouija board said it. Well, I started having some demonic manifestations. I'm a teenager. I started, like, I'd lay in bed at night, and I would see a dark shadow. Or I would sense an evil presence. And it would petrify me. I was also having demonic dreams. I was seeing, this may be too much information, but I was seeing a dog-faced demon in my dreams. And I finally got to the point where I talked to our youth pastor, and I told him what we were doing with the Ouija boards and the seances, which was it's just funny. And he said, stop it, first of all. What are you guys doing with this stuff? And then he said, secondly, the book of James says that demons tremble at the name of Jesus. And he was very wise in that he said, the next time you have one of these dreams and you wake up and you're terrified, the next time you feel an evil presence enter into your room or you see a dark shadow move across your room, just begin to say Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Well, that night I woke up from a demonic dream and I just began to say the name of Jesus and I was overwhelmed with peace and never had a struggle with it again. God was able to give me the victory there by just simply doing what the scriptures say, that demons tremble at the name of Jesus. But it was all smoke and mirrors. even if there was an evil presence that entered into my room, what was he going to do to me?
Ooh.
You know, what was he going to do? Even if there was a dark shadow that moved across my room, what was that dark shadow going to do to me? He was powerless to do anything to a child of God other than getting me to doubt, other than catching my mind on fire, other than getting me not being in the game for souls, but worrying about, I'm having these dreams about this dog-faced demon. Ah, I'm running around. Even if I was having those dreams, even if Satan was able to put dreams into my life and make me dream these things, what could they do in the end? And once I began to call upon the name of Jesus, I found again that there was power, there was might in what the Bible really says. So he says again, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Again, he's not going to come against you on your strongest day. We're here putting on our armor and we're like, I'm standing, come on, devil. And the devil's like, yeah, I'll wait. I'll wait until there's some struggle going on. I'll wait until God allows a curveball in your life. I'll wait until your life turns in a direction that you never thought it would turn, and now it turns in that direction. I'll wait until you're weak. That's what he does. It's an evil day that he's looking. That he left Jesus, it says, when he was weak physically, but he left him for a more opportune time, which I think he found in the garden, and Jesus was able to withstand him there as well. And it says that we may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all stand. And then it says, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. This is the first part of our armor. Everything else attaches to it, by the way, in Roman armor, everything else attaches to the belt. And of course, the devil wants us, you know, trying to cast demons out by getting people to throw up. Or, you know, casting Klingons off of people. He wants us believing something that isn't true. The Word of God tells us enough about spiritual warfare, the demonic host that is out there, and the angelic host that works on the behalf of ministers on behalf of believers, that we don't need to believe lies. He wants to get us believing lies so that he can go, look at what I can do with these people. He is the father of lies. And so when we hang on to the truth and say, this is what the Bible says, this is what the truth is, then we have a real strength and we have a real power. He says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is making things right with God. I like what Charles Swindoll says when he says, keep short accounts with God. When you sin, when you blow it, just make things right. Don't wait a week. Don't wait a year. Don't wait 10 years. Don't wait until you give 2 weeks without doing something. Just make things right. Come to him. Say you're sorry. He knows your struggles. He knows your weaknesses. He already knows them. And he called you anyway. He loves you anyway. He wants you in the midst of this battle. He called you as light, knowing all of your struggles. And some people have more struggles than others. I think of Samson. Samson's in the hall of faith. And I'll throw in, for crying out loud. And Samson struggled his entire life with all kinds of struggles. And yet, in the end, he did what was right. In the end, he was used by God. And so even if you do struggle, you can still be right with God. You can put on that breastplate of righteousness and say, here I am. I'm ready to stand for you. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is our call. We want to protect our feet, and the way we protect our feet everywhere that we go is understanding that this is not about my life. It's not about my comfort. It's not about my vacation. It's not about my retirement. It's about souls. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about us being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. It's about us being a part of the church that have been given the keys to the kingdom, and the gates of hell do not prevail against us. That's what it's about. And so Satan, of course, is attacking us in wanting to make us ineffective in the work of the gospel. Doesn't mean that you've got to run around telling everybody that they need to give their lives to Jesus right now. It just means that you need to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. Plant seeds, water those seeds, and be led by the Holy Spirit when someone is open to receiving the gospel. I don't ask everybody that I run into, would you like to receive the Lord? But I've been shocked on several occasions when I've asked people, would you like to receive Christ now? And they say, well, yes, I would. Not in services, by the way, in just sharing with people or in counseling sessions, when someone has seemed to have been even hostile towards the Word of God. And I say, would you like to give your life to Christ? And they go, yes. You would? It's like the last thing I expected to hear. This is the battle we're in. This is what it is all about. And that's what we need to understand. And no matter how he may attack you or how he might catch your mind on fire, if you stay in the work of the gospel, having your feet prepared with the gospel, you're going to be doing what God wants you to be doing, and you are empowered and equipped to do. It goes on to say, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. We'll talk about this on Wednesday. This is what how we put out those lies Satan's shooting at us. When our mind catches on fire, we put it out by believing God's word, by receiving what God has for us through his word. And we take on the helmet of salvation. The enemy would love to get you to think you're not saved. He loves to get Christians to wonder if I'm really saved. He loves to get you there. Putting on that helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which again we'll talk about on Wednesday night. Praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. That is, that you're praying for those around you, family, friends, coworkers, acquaintances, but also that you're praying for me and I'm praying for you. Because sometimes you're weak and we need to be praying for you, and sometimes I'm weak and I need you to be praying for me. We can be involved in the spiritual battle, and I can be involved in your spiritual battle by watching with all supplication and prayer for all the saints. And you can be involved in my spiritual battle and others by having all perseverance and watching in all prayer for the saints. Just think, if we, the majority of us in this room, have our armor on now and we stand, we're like, all right, I'm ready now, enemy. We're not taking him on physically. We're taking him on in the spiritual realm to do what he's called us to do. And we say, let's go. Let's throw down for the gospel, for the kingdom of God. Let's see God use us in greater ways in 2018 than he has ever used us before, because we take him serious and take him at his word. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful, so thankful for your word, which is so rich and profound and deep. And we only began to scratch the surface of this topic that we find in the pages of Scripture, and yet it is so powerful. And we pray that we would stand before you with the armor that you have given us, and that we would win souls. And help us, Lord, when we see that the minds of other people are being caught on fire, that we would know this is one in the spiritual realm. This isn't a battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may have come to church today because you've decided that you were going to become a Christian. I want you to know you don't become a Christian by going to church, all right? You have to invite Jesus in. You have to receive him. You have to say, I want you in my life. John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God. There's a new believers table, and we have pastors and leaders that are down here in the front. These guys would love to spend time with you and pray with you about surrendering your life to him. And if you need prayer or have questions about the Bible, then come on up. These pastors and leaders are here for you. Wednesday night, temptation. If you are never tempted, you don't need to be there. Otherwise, see you guys on Wednesday night. God bless you.